Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump threatened to impose tariffs on imports from Colombia after Colombia refused to accept U.S. migrant arrest flights. But Colombia has now changed its course, says ABC's Rachel Scott.
The White House announcing the two sides have reached an agreement, vowing to hold off on those tariffs, but still imposing visa restrictions and halting visa services at the U.S. embassy until those deportation flights land in Colombia. In a statement, the White House press secretary warning, President Trump expects all other nations of the world to fully cooperate in accepting the deportation of their citizens illegally present in the United States.
Rain in Southern California is helping reduce the fire risk, but it's increasing worries about mudslides. It's Holocaust Remembrance Day. There are ceremonies at Auschwitz marking 80 years since the death camp was liberated. And for the second time in 3 years, the Super Bowl will match the Kansas City Chiefs and Philadelphia Eagles. The game is in New Orleans, February 9th. This is ABC News. Confirmed in South Korea that the passenger plane that crashed last month, killing all but two people on board, struck birds.
Both engines of the Jeju Air flight that crashed last month in South Korea contain duck remains, according to a preliminary report released on Monday. We're also learning the final 4 minutes of recordings from both the cockpit voice recorder and the flight data recorder are missing. Officials are still trying to figure out what caused the crash that left 179 people dead. Inez de la Quatera, ABC News. At the foreign desk.
Another reason for older adults to get out and get exercise. A new study says 150 minutes of moderate activity, think walking or dancing, each week can lower the risk of death by 31%. And a sweet way for a baby to come into the world. An Alabama woman couldn't make it to a hospital, so she gave birth in her car in the parking lot of a Krispy Kreme. The company is giving the family free donuts for the year and will host the little boy's birthday parties. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. On Monday, January 20th, Donald Trump returned to office, sworn in as the 47th president of the United States. Right out of the gate, he took a number of actions on his top issue, immigration. Perhaps the most troubling of these is one aiming to end birthright citizenship in America. An immigration attorney I talked to told me, "We're going to sit through a lot of BS over the course of the next weeks, months, and years, but this is the big one." My take? This action from the Trump administration is despicable, unconstitutional, and fundamentally anti-American. The day after the order was issued, Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Call joined a coalition of 20 states challenging this action in court. This legal battle will be a tremendously important one for all of us to follow.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
The Bills lose in Kansas City. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL, the Buffalo Bills lost the AFC Championship game to the Chiefs 32-29. The Bills had the lead 10-7 in the second quarter, despite losing defensive back Christian Benford after he was carted off the field with another concussion. Bills head coach Sean McDermott.
You know, losing CB hurt us early there. We had a chance to convert a fourth down there, fourth and short, and then another fourth down late in the game there. It looked like we had a chance to catch it. Didn't work out that way.
The Chiefs are headed to their third consecutive Super Bowl. Head coach Andy Reid.
I'm proud of our guys battling. I mean, Pat Mahomes was phenomenal. You know, Travis Kelce, their leadership, Chris Jones, they didn't waver at all, and they know when to have fun, but they also know when to bear down.
The Chiefs will take on the Eagles, who beat Washington 55-23. NBA, the Bucks are in Utah tonight to play the Jazz. College basketball, the Badgers with a blowout win at home over Nebraska, 83-55. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. If you're looking for a new hobby that requires almost absolutely no activity, consider herkel-derkeling. It's a centuries-old Scottish tradition. Herkel-derkeling translates to the art of lazing in bed. The practice encourages people to stay in their pajamas and not get up. Most of us consider this being lazy or depressed, but if you use the phrase herkel-derkel, it makes it sound more clinical. Still probably not an acceptable excuse for being late to work. Now, hotels are encouraging people to take a herkel-derkel stay. Yes, by all means, go spend a few hundred bucks a night to stay in bed and not do anything. Money well spent. Amy Schumer says she might actually be canceled after admitting to hooking up with a fan. She talked about the experience on the Call Her Daddy podcast, saying that a professional baseball player who was a huge fan visited her for a rendezvous in her hotel room one night. She goes into more detail on the podcast. Let's just say they did more than Herkel Durkel. Schumer's new comedy special, Kind of Pregnant, drops February 5th on Netflix. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Thickening clouds, couple of flurries, or maybe a sprinkle this afternoon, and highs in the upper 30s. Partly cloudy, upper teens tonight, and partly sunny, warmer and low 40s tomorrow, but breezy. Mild for the rest of the week, 30s and 40s for highs, dry and partly cloudy. We're at 18 right now.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey K., will discuss the fallout from tribal and U.S. citizens getting caught up in the immigration sweeps. Also, which cabinet picks are in and out. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Thank you, Don Rue. Good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, and brought to you by Courier Newsroom. Carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network on this Monday morning, January 27th. It is 7:06 right now, and coming up, we'll be talking to our author Laura Bird about some of her winter reading recommendations for us. We'll hear from Jane Matinere as well, and we are joined here by Greg Bach, of course, at Radio Park in Racine, Up North News reporter Selena Heller from Eau Claire, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, who's working up on Iron Range this weekend for us as well. And you can join us along the way by putting comments on social media or calling or texting us. 855-75-CIVIC. Brittany Merlot continues a couple of well-deserved days off. We will be back in touch with her real soon, but we still do hear from Robin Tigerton. There's a lot of comments on YouTube today. I've got to scroll up to find these things. Here we go. Good morning from Tigerton. It's clear and windy and 21 degrees. The winds are from the southwest at 14. With the wind, it feels more like March than January. Yes, amen to that. Busy working around the home. We had some amazing sunsets. I took pictures of them. I feel sorry for the Buffalo Bills once again coming up short against the Kansas City Chiefs in the playoffs. I remember when the Chiefs had training camp at UW River Falls. Those were good times when they were there. And we were talking about national anthems, Whitney Houston's the last time around, and he singles out Whitney's as the best, but also Marvin Gaye at the NBA All-Star Game, and Reba McEntire at last year's Super Bowl as well. And he says he loves to travel the Bob Dylan Highway when you're up north there by Duluth, which I'm sure Dr. Lyerly's been on for her many trips up to the land where Robert Zimmerman got his whole start.
Yes, the Bob Dylan Highway that I also consider the Paul Wellstone Highway.
Yes.
The crash site is up here as well.
Yep. So Selena's going to be telling us in just a bit about a story that she's working on, talking to somebody from Wisconsin Conservation Voters all about the Paris Climate Accords and basically the U.S. not being involved in that anymore. And, you know, what does that really mean for the U.S.? There's things that do have significance, but it's not the be all and end all. There's still things that we can do, you know, in our private lives as well that dictate how things happen, you know, with the climate. And I just looking through, I did want to respond just to one note on Facebook from Billy, who says, let's talk about climate change. Let's talk about China. You know, the country that produces most of our consumable products, the world's leader of emitting greenhouse gases and mercury. Why doesn't anyone ever choose to discuss China when talking about climate change? The climate won't change if they don't change. Fair point, Billy. All right. Now you go over and do something about that. Does that negate us having to do anything as also one of the largest polluters in the world. And again, not by design, but by size and being one of the biggest manufacturing and industrial places in the country. Is it your point of view that if two houses next to each other both have junkyards in the backyard, that if one won't, then the other doesn't have to? There can continue to be pressure on China, but sometimes the best pressure is by good example and then by pressure from the rest of your neighbors. But to say we shouldn't do anything because China isn't going to hold water. It's something that we all have to be a part of. And Selena, that's where you talked to Ryan Billingham from Wisconsin Conservation Voters. He's been on our show previously. And you wanted to know his take from a Wisconsin perspective on the U.S. pulling out of the Paris Accords.
Yeah, we had quite a conversation. It was pretty interesting. I just love listening to, you know, people who just know those ins and outs. And, you know, he talked about a lot about, well, now we really have to think about things ourselves. If other people aren't going to, we really just kind of have to take it upon ourselves to think about. And, you know, we all feel this, you know, do you guys remember, you know, all the days when snow days back in school last year for the whole school year, we had no snow days. Emory didn't get a snow day. And that's, you know, that's the rite of passage for kids.
Right. We have extreme cold days now instead because of the way things have changed. Right.
Well, yeah, it was so this year now we've had one, and maybe we would have had probably another one last week or two because of the cold. But we talked about, you know, how things we feel them here in Wisconsin, right? And the farmers growing seasons and things like that. So this is where Ryan Billingham says, you know, we just have to think of ways that we can mitigate climate change ourselves.
We concentrate on the issues that our members rely on us to count on and to work for, which is clean water and clean energy and a robust and fair democracy. All of those things, which were sort of addressed in some way by the Trump administration yesterday. But from a state perspective, there's a lot of new people, new energy, and pro-conservation legislators who get it, who get that climate change is real, who care about our environment and our public lands and the places we love. So, yes, there's some darkness around the federal clean energy movement, the federal environmental movement and conservation, but we're here in Wisconsin. We're all Wisconsinites, and we love the state, and we're going to do what we can to protect it.
So, yeah, that was talking about kind of on the state level and what we kind of have some positive things to kind of think about if we need to.
Right. And we talked about this a bit last week with Melissa Baldoff in climate change, that there are still plenty of state and local leaders who are going to be doing their part to either mitigate the impact of, you know, the changing weather because of the climate, or do things to reduce our carbon footprint. Kristen, I know that in Green Bay, the mayor there and other officials have really been leading the charge in acting responsibly at the local level.
Yeah, there's a role for all of us to play at every single level. And, you know, to the Facebook commenter's point earlier, yeah, China is a problem. And Pat, I love how you mentioned that it's so important for us to lead by example. But just remember that everything that every one of us does to be a little bit better does have an impact. So that should be enough motivation for each of us to try a little bit harder every day.
Yep. Selena, what else did Ryan have to say?
And I think coming up, this is where he talks about how we do things. We can, you know, check our appliances and put insulation in. It's just the little things like that, just small steps that add up.
Mm-hmm. What we do in our everyday lives is going to be more important than ever. So I think that what we can do is start small, investigate ways to improve efficiency of your vehicle, efficiency of your home, talk with your neighbors, talk with your friends, and check out the resources we have online, check out what Focus on Energy has online. And so when we sort of pull out of the Paris Climate Agreement, I think from my perspective, that's a more symbolic action taken by Trump and that administration to appease the promises he made along the campaign trail.
And this is where, again, and folks might get tired of me saying this, but I'm going to do it all the time. It's about perspective. People will say, well, wait, is it a big deal or is it not a big deal? Are you guys being alarmist or not? And the answer is a little bit of both, that you have to walk this tightrope of Trump making noise about pulling us out of the Paris Climate Accords. It was a voluntary thing among countries. Now it's the United States, like Yemen and Iran and maybe North Korea that aren't part of the Paris Accords anymore. But just because we're not doing something from a national standpoint, and that is not a great thing, but at the same time, there are these things, Selena, that Ryan is telling us that we can do. So, you know, mm-hmm. we actually can walk and chew gum on this. We should expect better from our president and our federal government, but it doesn't mean that, you know, you can't do anything.
Right. We can be reliant on others to do things. So, you know, there are so many small things. And like he said, Wisconsin Conservations, their website, have a lot of programs. And I'm going to be talking about one of them coming up in another day when I join. It's called the HEAR program, H-E-A-R. And Wisconsin is lucky enough to roll this out. And it's part of the IRA and Inflation Reduction Act. Wisconsin has gotten money in hand already, so it can't be taken away. And it's for programs that give can help people right point of sale get better, more efficient appliances and things like that. So if you're interested in that, find that out, HEAR, HEAR program, and you can get a lot of rebates just right now in Wisconsin for a lot of different things for efficiency in your home.
It is something, folks are not early risers, don't catch the 6 a.m. hour. Melissa Baldoff, in our Wednesday morning climate check, we've talked about the HEAR program. We've had former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes on, who's also working to connect homeowners and businesses and school districts with these federal resources that are still available for now. And so this would be a really good time to look into this and think about home projects this year. I know we are. We're talking about the possibility of a generator, maybe with some solar panels. You know, part of it might be my feeling of what the electric grid might be like over the next 4 years, its reliability. But, you know, still, it's a good idea anyway. And, you know, Kristen, these are conversations that we all can have about how we can make a little bit of difference in the things that we do. I mean, even in healthcare, they talk about medical waste and things like that.
We all should be having these conversations, and we're having these conversations in our homes. We're having these conversations in our communities. The Green Bay School District has made a commitment to clean, renewable energy as a policy within the district. Every place we are, whether it's our homes, our work environments, our local or state governments, there are places where we can do these really, really important things. So yes, we all have a part to play here. Let's do it. And remember, Wisconsin is not a state that produces fossil fuels, but we do produce renewable energy. So this is a real opportunity for us here in Wisconsin.
That's the whole point. Every bit of renewable energy that we create here is another barrel of oil that doesn't have to be brought in, doesn't have to be processed just for us. So, Selena, thanks for those updates. I appreciate that very much. On the other side of the break, we're going to talk a bit about the Super Bowl. We know who the teams are and the Super Bowl commercials and whether they're something that you look forward to or not. So more about that. But in terms of other sports, the Bucks are still on their Western road trip. They lost to the Clippers in L.A. on Saturday. They're at Utah tonight. They're in Portland tomorrow. Then they're at home on Friday. The 18th-ranked Badger men's basketball team destroyed Nebraska yesterday, 83-55. They will next play at Maryland. The Marquette men's basketball team, 10th-ranked in the country, is in Indianapolis tomorrow to play Butler. And the number one-ranked Badger women's hockey team, one win and one tie against St. Cloud State. They will next play at Minnesota Duluth on Friday and Saturday. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this beautiful Monday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wissota, on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Eye Survey is proven to slow GA progression.
Eye Survey. IZERVAY gets GA going slower.
IZERVAY or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. IZERVAY can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. IZERVAY may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about IZERVAY today.
IZERVAY gets GA going slower.
Visit IZERVAY.com. That's IZERVAY.com.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
It's a day late for today's history lesson, but a belated happy birthday to Alicia Keys, who turned 44 over the weekend. This is Up North News Radio, where we talk about all things Wisconsin, also things that are happening in Madison and Washington, D.C., and sometimes we got to take a break and talk about other things that we can do in life, like go watch a movie. And I mentioned last week finally getting to see Conclave. That was one that I'd wanted to see and finally got a chance to. And it is among the Best Picture nominees. So we're going to go through some of the Oscar nominations here and then get a feel for, you know, what's likely to win when the awards are done on March 2nd, hosted by Conan O'Brien. But here are your Best Picture nominees. Okay, Conclave, I've seen that one. Anora, I've not heard of it until 3 seconds ago.
I watched it last night.
You did? Oh.
Yes, and I loved it.
Tell us more.
It's very spicy. It is about a sex worker from Brooklyn who meets the son of a Russian oligarch, and they have a whirlwind affair, and his parents don't approve. And the beauty of this movie is just the way it's shot and the way it's acted. It's got, obviously, a lot of sex in it, but it's just really very well done. I loved it.
The Brutalist. Is that Adrian Brody?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
He's a Holocaust survivor and an architect.
Again, yes. Somebody else had a two-time Holocaust survivor, Adrian Brody.
Two-time Holocaust survivor.
Because he was in the other movie.
The Pianist.
Yes. See. A Complete Unknown, the Bob Dylan biopic with Timothy Chalamet.
Highly recommended.
Let's see. Dune Part 2.
Also Timothy Chalamet.
Or as I call it, Tune.
Tune. Uh-huh. Oh, nice.
Thank you.
Amelia Perez. Colin Jost joke over the weekend on SNL. Amelia Perez, which garnered 6 viewers total in theaters.
I watched it. I thought it was really good. It's incredibly unique. Really well done. The music
is very
fun.
Unique.
Some are calling it not good at all.
Was that you?
No.
Okay.
I've read articles saying like this movie it's not even about the subject matter of the movie itself. It's the fact that this movie was sort of shoved down the throats of everybody, and it's like all of a sudden it's got 13 nominations, and there are people saying like it's not even that good of a film. Like people don't understand why it's just the bee's knees.
Well, again, and we can't really say much without being a spoiler alert, but I guess I could see a pushback on the subject matter.
Yeah.
Another one called I'm Still Here. Don't know that movie at all. Nickel Boys. I really swear they're making things up at this point. The Substance.
That's surprising. Really, that's nominated. I'm really surprised that's nominated.
Okay.
That's for all the 50-year-old white women out there.
Okay. And Wicked.
Wicked.
So good.
Have we all seen?
No.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Oh, you got to see it.
Yeah, I'll see it when it comes out on streaming.
Yeah, it'll come out eventually. It'll happen. By the way, we're still working on. Well, I'll tell Jane later about Hacks. We're working our way through streaming that show.
Yes. Oh, I love that show.
Best actor, Adrian Brody in The Brutalist, Timothy Chalamet in A Complete Unknown,
Coleman
Domingo in Sing Sing, Ray Fiennes in Conclave, and Sebastian Stan in The Apprentice.
Trump is really upset about this movie, and I love how upset he is about this movie.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah. Well, there you see. Let's see. Supporting actor, Yura Borisov for Anora. Kieran Culkin in A Real Pain. Edward Norton in A Complete Unknown. Guy Pearce in The Brutalist. Jeremy Strong in The Apprentice.
Edward Norton's totally going to win that.
Think so?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. He's Pete Seeger in A Complete Unknown, and he is like the embodiment of Pete Seeger. Like, you forget that he's an actor.
Gotcha. Oh. Okay. All right.
Who are you going to, Greg, you were going to mention
I was
going to
say
else?
Kieran Culkin, because I feel like his, I don't even want to say a comeback. Like, he was always in the shadow of his brother, and then Succession came out, and people were like, oh, he's a good actor. I'm like, yeah, he's been a good actor since he was 8.
He's good in that movie, too.
Yeah.
But he's not Ed Norton.
Okay.
True. Well, he is. That's very true, medically and physically.
We've got a real horse race there. There we go. leading actress, Cynthia Erivo in Wicked. Carla Sofia Gascon in Amelia Perez, Vicky Madison for Anora, Demi Moore in The Substance, and Fernanda Torres for I'm Still Here. Oh, that's the Demi Moore film, The Substance.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, where she's
and everybody's saying that, yeah, that she's going to win this one because some Oscars are given almost as a Lifetime Achievement Award, you know, and that she'll probably win for that. As well as, I guess, the movie's pretty good, too.
Yeah, we'll see.
It has something to do with what kind of a deal with the devil would you make to be young again or to not get old?
It's a body a body horror film, from what I understand, and that's why I'm so surprised it's nominated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's see. And Best Supporting Actress, Monica Barbaro, Complete Unknown, Ariana Grande in Wicked, Felicity Jones in The Brutalist, Isabella Rossellini in Conclave, and Zoe Saldana for Amelia Perez.
I just want Isabella Rossellini to win because I just want to see what her speech, her unhinged 3-minute speech will be like.
I don't know that she's going to get it simply because in Conclave, she just played a mean old nun who had she had a few lines, but mostly they were lines that any mean old nun would deliver. And trust me, as somebody who went to Catholic school and met some mean old nuns.
Are we having therapy right now?
No, I'm just saying I wouldn't give any of them an Oscar. I'd give an Oscar for some of the acting we all did to avoid, you know, some of the punishments. My favorite of which was when one sister was really mad at us one day. Everybody was given like a 5-inch piece of masking tape, and everybody had to get on their hands and knees and clean the carpet rather than bringing the vacuum cleaner in.
Sister Rosarito.
True story.
If Sister Rosarito.
That was a punishment?
That was a punishment. Yeah, all of us on our hands and knees cleaning the carpet with a little piece of tape.
If Sister Rosarito saw you screwing off in class, she'd walk in with a little razor blade, tell you to come out to the hallway, and you'd just scrape like the oil deposits off the floor. So you'd see kids on their hands and knees just cleaning the floors in the hallways of St. Mary's.
Apparently, this cleaning the floor thing on hands and knees, they taught that in whatever school taught the nuns to be teachers.
Yeah.
So got that going for us. And then my parents both had, you know, stories about going to St. Stanislaus back in the day in St. Paul. So we just right away took this right into a total different direction. Oscars.
My public school experience was not like that.
No, yeah, I did not do any of that.
Not at all. Dr. Lyerly, thank you so much, as always, for these Monday visits. Hope you have a wonderful week.
Love starting my week with you guys.
Yeah, and Selena Heller, you can see what she's doing on Up North News on your social media feeds and in her daily newsletter. Sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. Ms. Heller, you have a great day as well.
Thank you, everyone, too.
All right. When we come back, author Laura Ann Bird is back and is going to talk not just about what she's working on, but what you could be working on for your reading pile, with a bit of a winter theme coming along to it as well. And then Jane Matinere will follow that. This is Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Some changes announced by the Wisconsin 4-H Foundation. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Monday. They've decided to restructure a bit. Their president explains why next.
Loss of appetite, drop in milk production, and dehydration are all key indicators of HPAI, or bird flu. This disease is a threat to cattle health and farmers' bottom line. Help protect your herd and reduce the spread by keeping animals hydrated and eating with BioVet. Bovine Gold Light provides key electrolytes for livestock, and our direct-fed microbial products support digestive health and appetite. Learn more at bile-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Veltima fungicide out-yields the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre. But you've never been average. The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Beat your own record. Get every bushel you deserve. And make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Charlie Crave is the president of the Wisconsin 4-H Foundation Board of Directors, and he said they made the decision to merge some of their services with the UW Foundation for some simple efficiencies.
The reason for that is they currently hold most of our funds. So our funds are invested through the UW Foundation. However, they have a hallway of lawyers, accountants, et cetera, et cetera. We currently outsource a number of those services. And while they are competitively priced, we have done our research. We are absolutely positive we can save money by operating with the structure of the UW Foundation.
Charlie Crave, president of the Wisconsin 4-H Foundation Board. Now, under their restructure, they did release Executive Director Brenda Scheider, as well as her assistant, Joanne Wolin. Still, Crave says the efficiencies they're finding with this restructure should help donor dollars go farther and continue the 70-year history the Wisconsin 4-H Foundation Board has had. And Wisconsin milk production looking pretty good for 2024's end. The December milk production came in 2.69 billion pounds of milk, up just a little bit compared to a year ago. But we did it with 1,000 fewer milk cows than November, 5,000 fewer milk cows than Wisconsin had compared to a year ago. Each one of those cows producing about 2,125 pounds of milk, up 10 pounds from last December. That's just a quick check on what's happening in food and farming news for a Monday. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Thickening clouds, couple of flurries or maybe a sprinkle this afternoon, and highs in the upper 30s. Partly cloudy, upper teens tonight, and partly sunny, warmer and low 40s tomorrow, but breezy. Mild for the rest of the week, 30s and 40s for highs, dry and partly cloudy. We're at 18 right now.
No more mold, no more damage, no more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a Neverclear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower, interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
The dismantling of diversity, equity, and inclusion under Donald Trump has already begun. On the next show, we'll talk with Dr. Eva Martinez-Paulus about what DEI really is.
The Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings, 8 till 10.
Anita Baker turned 67 years old yesterday. It's one of my favorite song intros from her rather large library of hits back in the late 80s here. All right, let's turn at 7:35 now to we went to movies. Now we're going over to books here in our continuing effort to not always be doom scrolling the radio version. Let's instead go for some books, some of which may celebrate winter, or as our next guest Laura Bird tells us, some books that may give winter haters a brief respite from the cold and ice. Laura, how are you?
Hi, Pat. I'm doing great. Happy Monday. How are you?
Happy Monday to you. Doing well. I am reminded, though, of the poem and the church hymn, In the Bleak Midwinter, and that we are, now it's a sunny morning here, but there are definitely our fair share of gray days. Some folks will take vacations, and that's where we get the term the beach read, is having some paper back there or thinking about sunny beaches. But, you know, we've got this winter season, like it or not, welcome to the tundra. And I think you did a wonderful job of looking for things that both celebrate winter and help us escape winter. Are seasons and weather and things like that, are they a prevalent theme in a lot of books that you see, or is that still something unusual and creative when somebody grabs a season and wraps a story around it?
That's a great question. I think some books focus on the seasons. They're very season focused, but not all books. But the books that I'm going to talk about today do focus on weather. As you alluded to, Pat, like, we are in the middle of winter right now, and I actually really don't mind winter at all. I've always loved it until about the end of February, you know, when I start feeling like I've got rickets from vitamin D deficiency. Until then, I think it's a pretty great season. One of my favorite books as a kid was The Long Winter by Laura Ingalls Wilder, which I'm sure a lot of your listeners read. Yep. And so it's no surprise that I do love to read books that center around winter. And it's funny that the ones I'm talking about today all have like Wisconsin connections. I think that says something, because I think we're very hardy folk here in the state of Wisconsin. But I know that not everybody leans into the cold and the ice and loves this time of year. And so I'm also here with some recommendations of summer forward books, if you will, some sunny, warm weather stories. So I'm here to sort of address everyone's reading needs, if you will.
Sure. Let's start with the first of the winter theme books.
Yeah. I should also say that all of the books I'm going to talk about today came out in the last couple of years, so they're all relatively new, and they all have very strong ties to Wisconsin. Well, with the exception of one, we have kind of one outlier, but it's close enough. So I'm giving them a free pass. So the first book is A Winter's Rhyme by Carol Dunbar. And Carol is so extraordinary. She lives off the grid in the woods in the northwestern part of the state, just south of Superior. And her driveway is like a mile long, literally. And her solar-powered office is actually the second floor of her family's water tower on their property. So she has a really interesting take on things. So A Winter's Rhyme, and rhyme is spelled R-I-M-E. And a little science here. Rime refers to the frost that's formed when a winter fog fixes to a super cooled surface, creating individual barbs of ice. Oh, who knew? I did not know that. So this is a harrowing emotional novel set in rural Wisconsin, and it centers on Mallory, a 25-year-old veteran army mechanic who's living with her girlfriend, Andrea, and working overnights at a gas station store while figuring out what's next. And this gas station looks an awful lot like a Quick Trip. So you're going to feel like you're right at home while you're reading this. They live in a quiet cabin in the woods, which is sort of a sanctuary for Mallory, until her relationship with Andrea begins to turn controlling and abusive. Mallory escapes into the frigid night and runs into this teenage girl by the side of the road who's injured and asking for help. And this sort of kickstarts this story that becomes an examination of what it means to save others and what it means to save yourself. It's really beautiful. And Carol Dunbar just nails the sense of winter, that cold feeling. She's so great with her sense of place. And she writes beautifully about extreme rural isolation.
Very
love
nice.
This book.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What's next?
I Cheerfully Refuse by Leif Enger. So Leif Enger is kind of my outlier. He doesn't actually live in Wisconsin, but he's in Duluth, which is close enough, right?
That's
he's
right.
just right across the way, not far from Carol Dunbar. I love all of his novels. This is his newest, and it has a slightly dystopian vibe, which somehow like strangely fits seamlessly with his very beautiful, clear-eyed Midwestern aesthetic. And the story centers on Rainey, who's a musician and a big bear of a guy who lives in a small town in Minnesota with his beloved bookseller wife, Lark, in the not too distant future. So we don't know what year it is. It's not now, but it's sometime in the future. A stranger shows up at their door one night asking to rent the third floor of their house, which they've done before. And you know there's something off with this stranger. And it turns out like everything is off. I don't want to give anything away, but within days, Rainey has fled their home in search of Lark, whom he's convinced is somewhere out on Lake Superior. You know Lake Superior. It's huge, violent, cold, and stormy. So it's very alarming when Rainey sets out in a souped-up sailboat with very little sailing experience to track her down. So he embarks on this extraordinary adventure. Technically, the book kind of starts in fall, so it's not technically a winter book, but I'm okay including it because there's so much snow, there's so much ice, and you just feel that sense of cold throughout the entire story. And it'll make your heart pound. I read this book with like white knuckles.
Okay. You got one more winter one?
I do. And you're going to love this. 40 Acres Deep by Michael Perry. And I'm assuming a lot of your listeners know Michael Perry because he lives in your neck of the woods, Pat. He was born in New Auburn, just north of Eau Claire, raised on a dairy farm, put himself through nursing school while working on a ranch, and then took a detour into writing. And so today he's an author, humorist, musician. His band is the Long Beds. And he's also a volunteer firefighter, an amateur snowplow driver. I love this man. He's like a Renaissance guy. He's written a ton of books, novels, memoirs, essay collections, but his newest is a novella. So it's like a baby novel. It clocks in at only 120 pages. It's very slim. So it's a very haunting book that takes place in rural Wisconsin, deep in the heart of winter, with snow coming down literally like every page of the book. And in fact, to me, like the snow almost became a character of its own. And the story is about a very troubled farmer named Harold, who's faced some really big difficulties, both professionally and personally. And he's proud and stubborn, and he totally does justice to a lot of real farmers that we all know and love in Wisconsin. So it's a sad story, but there's a lot of redemption and hope. And interestingly, Mike Perry does an incredible job of spotlighting the mental health needs of farmers, which when you read this book, you'll see are a real thing.
Very much so.
Yeah, yeah. As a side note, I just want to plug that I am the co-founder, as you know, of the Great Midwest Book Group. And we meet quarterly on Zoom. Anyone is welcome to join us, even if you haven't read the book. Michael Perry is our guest on February 11th at 7 p.m. And we are going to talk with him about 40 Acres Deep and ask him all of our burning questions. I can't wait to have a conversation with him. If anyone wants to join us, the more the merrier. Find Great Midwest Book Group on Instagram or Facebook, and you can DM us for the Zoom link.
Great Midwestern Book Group or Great Midwest?
Great Midwest Book Group. Sorry.
Great Midwest Book Group.
Great Midwest Book Group. We only read books and authors that celebrate our region because we are more than flyover country, as you
exactly
know.
Now, yeah. Before we, so those are some winter themes. We'll see what we've got time for on not so winter themes, but I also wanted to make sure to give you some time to talk about the Wisconsin Book Festival's February programming. Speaking of another local author,
yes.
Nick Butler.
That is a great, I'm glad you brought that up, Pat. I have his book right here. This is his brand new book, A 40-Year Kiss. It comes out next week. So he's getting all geared up for this, and he is making a visit to Madison, and I'm actually his conversation partner. I'm so excited. So I get to ask him all about A 40-Year Kiss. He's coming to Madison thanks to Wisconsin Book Festival on February 18th, 7 p.m. at the Central Library downtown. No cost to attend, no RSVP required. You just show up and you get to listen to a great bookish talk with one of our state's favorite writers.
All right. Sounds great. All right. Let's see what we can squeeze in here for summer forward books. I like the way that you refer to it. Go for it.
So, okay. The Snowbirds by Christina Clancy comes out next week. The premise of this book is fascinating. What happens when a couple has very different preferences about the weather? Like, I know that there are real people in Wisconsin who cannot do Wisconsin winters. And that is the main character of Kim. She gets the chance to escape to Palm Springs for this sort of sabbatical. And her partner, Grant, accompanies her, but he does so kicking and screaming because he has no interest in this warm, sunny time in Palm Springs. But they settle into this condo rent-free thanks to an ex, and they start soaking up, you know, the sun. They sit by the pool. They have the cocktails. Everything is great until Grant takes up hiking and gets lost in the mountains towering over Palm Springs, which actually can be totally deadly. And they shut down the park and they send up helicopters and they've got investigators. Everyone is looking for Grant. But Kim begins to wonder, is he really lost or did he just leave me? Hmm. So this is a great story about midlife and partnership and what it means to flee the cold.
Well, it's like being a kayaker and faking your own drowning. And next thing you know, you're in Uzbekistan. But that's
right?
ripped from the headlines. Got another one?
I do. Bummer Camp by Anne Garvin. Anne is another Madisonian. She has a bunch of books out. Bummer Camp is her latest. It's inspired by the real life Lions Camp for the Disabled located in Ross Holt, Wisconsin, where she actually worked as a nurse back in the 90s. And it's a laugh out loud story about a woman whose family has run a theater camp for years. It's getting increasingly run down, and now her irresponsible little sister is in charge of it. Her sister Ginger has made some terrible mistakes, and now she's called upon Kat, character, to come and fix everything. The worst problem is that the camp has been rebranded as a summertime getaway for anxious and depressed adults. So if it sounds like a hot mess, it's because it is a hot mess. But it's a wonderful, laugh out loud, big-hearted story of family, belonging, and summertime in Wisconsin.
All right. And we got one more coming.
Last but not least, Andrew J. Graff. I love him. This is his novel, True North. Andy grew up fishing, hunting, and hiking in the Northwoods of Wisconsin, in the northeastern corner of the state. Now he lives in Ohio and teaches at Wittenberg University. True North is his second novel, and if you love the outdoors and you love summertime, you will rip right through this book. So it takes place kind of like where Andy grew up, in the remote, far northeast of Wisconsin, where a young family is living in a camper for the whole summer, far from their home in Chicago. So the couple is Sam and Swami, and they have three little kids, and they've just purchased a rafting company. But they're really there in the town of Thunderwater to repair their failing marriage. But it turns out the rafting company is also failing. What could go wrong? Many things go wrong. But Andy writes so beautifully about humans' connection with nature. And in True North, you get all the sunshine and warmth and mosquitoes of summertime in Wisconsin. Bonus points if you love rafting, but that's not really required at all to gulp down this adventurous, soulful novel.
Would you be able to find all of these at bookshop.org? I know you mentioned that website before.
Yep, bookshop.org.
Okay.
Yep. If
you're looking to be non-Amazonian with your purchases.
Exactly. I really like to support bookshop.org because when you make a purchase, you know, you can do it online, they'll send it to your house, but you can actually choose an independent bookstore when you're making your purchase so that that store gets credit for that sale. So it's a no-brainer to me to support, you know, these local bookshops that are supporting our communities and making them so vibrant.
I want to tell you, behind the scenes for Courier Newsroom, our parent company of Up North News, so we've got people all over the country. And among the many Slack channels, there's one for music, and there's one for books. And I don't know what we'll talk about next time around, but I just wanted to tip you off that the latest recommendation on there was by Rebecca Yaros called Onyx Storm. And it's some kind of a dragon-based, you know, a young adult novel or something like that. Fantasy novel that maybe that'll be a theme. And I'll keep watching that book channel for other recommendations. Laura Bird, thank you so much. Always great to talk to you. Looking forward to the next already. Have a great day.
Thanks, Pat. Have a great day.
All right. When we come back, Jane Matinere will be here to tell us what to expect from Matinere on Air this week. This is Up North News Radio, live from Chippewa Falls on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matinere on Air. You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We have updates on important state Supreme Court cases involving the outcome of a November 2024 North Carolina Supreme Court election and whether Pennsylvania can count mail ballots with missing dates. First to North Carolina, where after two recounts, a race for Supreme Court justice is separated by 734 votes, with 5.5 million ballots cast. Supreme Court Justice Allison Riggs was declared the winner over Appeals Court Judge Jefferson Griffin, but Griffin refused to concede and appealed to invalidate as many as 60,000 voters. Griffin's challenge includes voters with felony convictions, despite North Carolina's returning citizen rights restoration. He and the North Carolina GOP also challenge voters with incomplete registration information, some of whom are even elected officials and have voted for years. Wednesday, the Carolina Journal reported that the North Carolina Supreme Court refused to hear the case in a 5-1 decision, sending it back to Wake County Superior Court to consider Judge Griffin's complaints. Back in October, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court refused to rule on whether on-time mail-in ballots missing a signing date could be counted. Of the two challenges filed, the ACLU's argument that rejecting the ballots is a violation of the state constitution's free and equal elections clause will be considered. No trial date has been set. We have more on both cases at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Badgers.
Seeds Max, face the three, takes the three, left side, yes sir.
Play.
Pivots, fades, flips, good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it, with the right hand, it counts at a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Slam dunk, Steven Crow hammers it down.
Catch every game all season long right here on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Jane says, I'm done with Sergio.
Jane Matinair will be here for Matinair on Air in a couple of hours along with Greg Bach. Oh, wait. They're both here right now, as they are every Monday morning at this time. Ms. Matt Nair, how are you?
I am great, Mr. Kreitlow. How about yourself?
Doing very well, especially after last night where, again, we engaged in a little escapism with the TV and took on the next couple of episodes of Hacks, strongly recommended by one Jane Matt Nair.
What do you think?
I will say it is... It's still growing on us. We're going to stick with it. It's clearly going places. We are very much more the ha-ha people. And so when people are like in these situations that get really serious, we're just kind of,
wait a second. Pat, are you saying that Hacks isn't a comedy?
Oh, are we opening this debate? Okay. Certainly not to the point of, what's the Chicago chef one? The Bear?
The Bear.
Not a comedy.
Thank you, Pat Kreitlow. The Bear is not a comedy.
I don't really care. I've never watched either.
No, but you're right about Hacks, though. There are some massively uncomfortable moments in it.
But there isn't Shrinking as well, the show that we just finished or got caught up on. But, I mean, laugh out loud moments as well. And so we're still, but again, like that one and like other series, it builds to get to that point where I'm sure by the end of season one, we'll be like, well, of course this is a comedy.
Yeah. And I think part of my love for that show is I love Jean Smart so much. And the fact that she is coming out and winning awards in her 70s.
Yeah.
To me, is just that's to be stand up and applaud because she's fantastic.
I had to wonder though about they run a lot of old clips because she's an older comedian, and so the last episode was all about her appearances on TV in her early years in the 70s, and it just made me wonder again the role of AI and other digital animation or whatever. Because it's one thing for a makeup artist to make you look younger. It can be done, as we all know, to a degree.
Yes.
And then after that, the enhancements can only be done, digitally and not with Spanx or CoverGirl or anything else. And you're thinking that that took some work to make it look that natural. Like, of course she's filling in for Johnny Carson or whatever the case may be.
Right. No, it's a great show. If you haven't seen it yet, I highly encourage you to check it out. It's witty, it's clever, it's heartfelt. Again, some awkward moments, but I think it's worth it. I really do.
Good, good. Hey, we were talking Oscars before. Have you looked over the nominations? Have you seen much of what's out there?
I was listening as I came in, and maybe it's just me. Is there a through line through Oscar-nominated films that they have to be boring? I watched Conclave, and I was ready to, I don't know, start a useless...
I feel like Jane has a much more graphic thing she wants to say right now, but she can't.
It was so boring.
It was boring.
It's
just a lot of rape. And Stanley Tucci and John Lithgow, and they're all just going to talk to each other. And then Isabella Rossellini comes in and is like, you guys shouldn't be talking to each other. But we like talking to each other.
And you were so right. She's a crabby nun. Yeah. I could play the crabby nun. Yes. I had crabby nuns. I know from crabby nuns.
Okay, here's a question I have for both of you.
Yes.
Pat, you went to Catholic school. Jane, did you go to Catholic school?
Yes, I did.
I went to Catholic school. We know about the conclave process of picking a new pope. Where in the teachings did it say it was Hollywood intrigue the entire time, or was it just a bunch of old men talking to each other?
Well, again, because I think the whole thing builds up to this twist, which, by the way, comes back to a similar twist in Amelia Perez that gets into the nature of humanity, shall we say, and our identities. And that is, it's a topic that's in vogue right now. And I would say that if you're on the right wing, the political right wing, you're going to use these as examples of this is why we got to get rid of DEI. It's being forced upon us and everything else. Like, no, it's good that we're telling stories that deal with, you know, human identity and traits and things that were taboo to talk about even for so long. But just because you have those twists in them does not make it a good movie, does not make it good writing. You got to have both. And, you know, Conclave definitely does not have that. If I knew nothing of the Catholic Church and the whole Pope process of electing a Pope, I don't know that I would have found it the least bit interesting. I found it mildly interesting because of my upbringing. But no, I would not have put it in a Best Picture nomination pile at all.
Not by a long shot. Seriously. No. And whatever twist you're talking about, Pat, I did not make it to that point.
Oh my God, you didn't?
Oh no. It's like I can't do another half an hour of dark, moody old guys walking around. It just was like, just kill me.
Do you want me to spoil it after the show?
Oh yeah, tell me.
Oh, good. Well, folks, hang on for the secret show after this.
Oh, I love spoilers. I looked up you were talking about The Substance with Demi Moore, which intrigues me, but I know it's a horror movie, so I look up all of the spoilers
in advance because
I hate blood.
But it's a body horror movie. That's different than a horror movie. That's more like, gross.
Yeah, ew.
Versus like, eek.
Eek versus gross?
Yeah.
And by the way, I learned something from your show. I did not realize that today is National Bubble Wrap Day. Actually, one of my sisters, Suzanne, loves bubble wrap so much that one year I gave her a roll for her birthday.
That's very thoughtful. You are a good sister.
I thought so.
Not the nun kind. Yeah, the familia kind. So, all right, hang around. I'm gonna give you that spoiler in about 30 seconds.
I'm gonna try to not be a part of that because I want to watch the movie still. So I'll
never mind, Jane. I'm gonna send
you
a note.
I'll cover my ears.
Send it to me.
All right. Anyway, Greg and Jane are back at 10 a.m. for Matt and Air on Air. Thanks to today's guests, Laura Bird, Selena Heller, Kristen Lierley. Tomorrow we will have Hans Breitenmoser. Thanks to all of you for being part of Up North News Radio on this Monday morning. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Check out what we do at UpNorthNewsWI.com. We'll see you tomorrow morning up north.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
It is the weekend. That means coming up on the show, we'll break down all the news that you might have missed and wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings at 10.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump will address congressional Republicans today at their leadership retreat in Florida. Over the weekend, he threatened 25% tariffs on all imports from Colombia after that country's government refused to allow U.S. military deportation planes.
In a statement, the Colombian government says that it has overcome an impasse with the United States, saying that they plan to send representatives to Washington, D.C. to meet with the Trump administration. But the White House press secretary says if Colombia violates any terms of this agreement, those tariffs are back on.
That's ABC's Rachel Scott. Rain in Southern California is reducing the fire threat, but increasing the risk of mudslides in burn-scarred areas. Wall Street gearing up for early losses. Future markets lower after news of a Chinese company's AI